Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
John Rash is on the editorial page of the Star Tribune, and this is what we call the Rash Report. We talk media and pop culture. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Well, I just want to get your initial reactions from the media perspective of the Mueller report.
An extraordinary moment for the country, for Washington, for politics, and certainly for the media from that perspective. And not surprisingly, the media, which has been covering this story quite closely throughout the Trump presidency, covered it quite closely yesterday. The media, to a certain degree, has been central to the story, particularly how President Trump has tried to characterize certain sectors of the media, often using the term fake news. And in many ways, the Mueller report belied all of those characterizations. Not only were many of the media reports extraordinarily accurate about what was happening with the White House, according to the Mueller report, was well aware they were accurate when the president was using that kind of characterization. And it also will create quite a challenging situation for White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, because she admitted under oath that she had been lying to the media as well. So I think that to the degree the media was part of the story, it came across not nearly as bad as the administration and its defenders had portrayed them. The story, of course, will continue, and the media, as always, wants to be out of the story and report it and not be part of it. But it'll be interesting to see the degree that the administration, including the president, continues to try to make the media a portion of the story.
You know, every major media outlet was carrying that, John, as you're well aware of, us included, and Star Tribune was on top of it as well online, I know. Is there any way to go back? I'm just thinking out loud here about when Ken Starr had his report and how that was covered.
It's a very good question, and what I can remember was when he initially emerged from a Justice Department building and a crush of photographers and reporters to the point where it almost became an unsafe condition. And I remember that being carried live and that being an extraordinary optic out of that situation. And of course, there was wall-to-wall coverage with the impeachment hearings that were the eventual outcome of the Starr report and the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal. What's quite different in terms of the media environment are the technological transformations since then, since the mid-90s, and that, of course, front and center is social media and what the Internet, you know, has done. The Internet, of course, existed then. It was not nearly as widely as adopted, and certainly we did not have smartphones where you had instantaneous information, you know, at people's fingertips wherever they're walking. And so that environment is different, and people's willingness and ability to comment in real time and Twitter and Facebook and other social media sites, it's something that's profoundly different as well.
John, I want to talk about journalism, switch gears just a little bit, but I want to talk about the reporters, and you and I have discussed this before. The Reporters with Borders released their annual World Press Freedom Index, and I was reading this earlier this week, and it shows some troubling developments around the world.
Indeed, and that will be the subject of my column tomorrow, Dave, because it talks about a climate of fear stoked by, in their words, hatred of journalists that often comes from the very top. And you think of some of the repressive regimes around the world led by authoritarians like Vladimir Putin and Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines, the new president of Brazil, as just a few examples. But this is happening everywhere, including and especially China. And unfortunately, it does not look favorably upon the United States. Reporters Without Borders ranked us 48th in the world in world press freedom, right below Romania, and does talk specifically, however uncomfortably, for some people regarding, you know, wherever they are in politics, about some of the president's rhetoric and some of the challenges that creates for safety for a lot of reporters as well. And so And, of course, we had the tragic incident where someone came into the Annapolis Capital Gazette and killed five media workers as well. So the United States, which used to be a beacon of media freedom, is no longer looked that way, particularly with the perception around the world that we did not hold the Saudi Crown Prince accountable for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. So this really remains something that the United States used to, on a bipartisan basis, really project and protect around the world. And I think a whole lot of more work could be done in that respect.
Police in Northern Ireland, too, John, they're talking about the fatal shooting of a journalist overnight in Riding in the city of Londonderry. So that's not good, and that just happened here recently.
Indeed, and a big part of the Brexit discussions of people wanting to avoid a rekindling of what they called the Troubles, you know, in Northern Ireland. And parenthetically, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is over there on a congressional delegation trip on a bipartisan basis, trying to reinforce the Good Friday agreements that were signed 21 years ago.
I'm going to talk with Alex from Google here in a minute about the top searches this week for all of us in this country. But, John, as I digress to the ratings for Game of Thrones and the Masters, how did that turn out?
Masters, quite good, but in an interesting split where they reran, you know, the whole Sunday drama right after it had completed, because a whole lot of viewers on the West Coast, it simply was too early for them to get up. And as we all remember, it was time shifted a bit because of threats of bad weather. But very strong ratings for the Masters. I think what will be particularly compelling now that Tiger is clearly, you know, back in the top competitively, is how strong the Masters for the upcoming tournaments. You know, of course, the majors in terms of, you know, PGA as well as the U.S. Open and the British Open. But even our tournament that's going to be here, the 3M Open, particularly if Tiger Woods decides to play in that tournament, those would be quite strong as well.
Some have speculated that Davis Love, the captain of the Ryder Cup team when they were here in town just a year ago or so, wanted Tiger to come out and be a captain on that team, or a vice captain, whatever they call him, and Tiger kind of didn't want to. And some have speculated in the golf world that that's kind of what got Tiger kind of over the hump and realizing that things could change. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it's really interesting, and that boil all back down to that Ryder Cup that they had here.
It is indeed very interesting, and maybe he's got a good spot in his heart for the Twin Cities here, and so maybe he'll come back for the 3M Open. I know that would be a big shot in the arm for that tournament. It's about 2 weeks right before the British Open, and a lot of golfers clearly don't want to golf a week before, but they may want to be in a competitive tournament 2 weeks before, so we'll have to see. But the Minnesota is the center of the golf world, and at least for that weekend coming up in July, will be again.
Yeah, it'll be a golf weekend for a lot of people, starting probably right now with that sun out there. Hey, John, have a good weekend. I assume you're probably at a hockey tournament.
Little bit of hockey tomorrow, and then, of course, take off for Easter tomorrow. So to all of our listeners who celebrate, happy Easter, and to you and your family, Dave. So thank you.
You as well, John. Thank you. I look forward to your column in tomorrow morning's Star Tribune. He's John Rash on the Rash Report. It's 8:18, our traffic and weather up next. This is the morning news, 42 degrees and the sun's out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.